Okay, we are now entering, I think for the summer, we're now entering, what do they call it, travel season? Yeah, construction, right. We're entering travel season. And if you are traveling, what does that make you? Traveler, right, that's us, traveler. So, hey, look at that, that's no good at all. We are travelers, right? We're travelers. Listen, the whole Bible is full of references and telling us that we're travelers, right? Abraham, remember what he did? He left his home and traveled. He was a traveler. All of us are on a journey. We're all traveling. You know, you are my fellow travelers. Did you know that? You're my fellow travelers. We're traveling together. We're going to the same place. Isn't that nice? I want to go through some here. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I want to, before we get into this, I want to say something. I feel inadequate. I feel inadequate. Inadequate, does anyone know what that means, that word? Can somebody tell me what the word inadequate, give me an idea?
Not adequate.
You know, if I would have been the one sitting out there, that would have been my answer back. I was hoping because I was up here I would get a smart answer. But anyway, somebody tell me, what is it to be inadequate?
Not measuring up. Not equal.
What'd you say? Say one, a little louder for me, Dave. I was probably talking when. Right. Expectations aren't met. Or?
Not measuring up to a standard.
Not measuring up to a standard. Let me ask you in here. Have you ever felt like you didn't measure up?
Every day, all the time.
You ever see people that you never think they feel that way? They can never feel that way, you know? I see. Inadequate. There's two ways you can say you're inadequate. One way you can say I'm no good. I'm the worst. And then what are you wanting from that?
Sympathy.
Well, you want sympathy. And what else with it?
Affirmation.
Oh yeah. Oh, you're. Oh man. No, Jed. You're a great guy. You're not a loser. You know what I mean? Hey, you want? Right? That's what. A lot of times, that's one way you can do inadequacy. The other way is. Truly, when you feel like I don't got everything I need for you, I don't feel like I'm not gonna, I really feel like truly I'm not gonna meet your expectations. I don't have it in me. And I do feel bad about that. I really feel bad about that sometimes, really. But then I read God's Word in Philippians chapter 3. I read about Paul here and what he's saying, you know? And I think it's important for us to look at too. He says this, my fellow travelers, this is what he's saying. He starts off by saying that, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. It's not grievous for me to tell you this, the same thing over and over, but I do it for your safety. I tell you these things for you. He also says in verse 3, he says, I have no confidence in what? Read verse 3. I have no confidence in what? The flesh. I have no confidence in my flesh. Today I get up before you with God's Spirit, I hope. And that's what I hope. You will not get nothing, but you will get something from God. I have no confidence in the flesh. And then he talks about all of his great successes. This guy was great. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. That's what it said in the Bible. The Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a top guy. He followed the rules. He knew it all, as much as could be known. And then he says this in verse 10, that I may know him. He counted all that stuff as loss that he did, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to him unto his death. And then verse 11, he says, I got this out of another out of another version. But verse 11, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's trying to strain to get to this place. He's a fellow traveler, remember? And he's traveling to this place. And he says that he is doing anything to attain this. He's trying to get there. And he also says this, though, verse 12, this is my encouragement. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. You know what? That gives me a lot of comfort right there. It gives me a lot of comfort because you know what he's saying? I'm not perfect. Don't look at me as being perfect. Don't see that. He says, I haven't got to where I want to be. He says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He's following after. That's what he says. I follow after so that I can be where I need to be, right? I'm following after. Verse 13. It's another verse about this inadequacy, I think, that Paul is telling us. But I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't tell you that I made it. I'm not telling you that I've made it, that I'm doing it. He says, but I do this one thing. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth to those things that are before me. Isn't that great? You know, we did that. Remember that movie that was out a while back, Let It Go? Maybe that's not the name of it, but that's the name I give it, Let It Go. Remember that movie? You heard that song maybe once, right?
Frozen.
1,000 times or 1,000 times. At 1 or 1,000, I knew it was something like that. Let it go. This verse is about letting it go. You know what? Let me ask you this question. How difficult would it be for you to drive forward looking out your rearview mirror? That could cause problems, right?
Tracy said I do it all back.
Listen, we need to be looking forward, and that's what he was doing. He was letting those things go. You ever meet people that are used to's? You ever meet used to people? Well, I used to. And I used to. But what are you doing? But I used to. There's used to people. I never want to be a used to. I don't want to be a used to. I want to be like Paul. I want to be reaching forward. I hope that's in my travel. I want to go forward. I press. Look at verse 14. He's really expressing himself here. You can notice these three verses. He's really trying to tell you his inner feelings on this, right? About how his relationship with God is. This is not flippant to him. This is not fluff. These are hard words. I'm pressing. That's what it says. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, and he says this, here's the encouragement. Let all of us be thus minded. Verse 15, and if anybody else is not minded this way, God will reveal it to them. God will reveal it to them. That's what he says. Verse 17 is one that I sent this out to a few friends, but verse 17 is the one that scares a lot of people. It's Paul says, be a follower of me as I follow Christ. Be a follower of me as I follow. Somebody was saying, man, that's a pretty big statement, don't you think? Could people follow you and get to Christ? Can people follow you and become more like Christ? I want to say this morning. I'm going to help you guys a lot. I really am. I'm going to help you this morning. I'm going to give you something that's going to put you ahead of the curve. How many people like being ahead of the curve? Do you like being to the sale first before anybody else gets there and you can see all the good stuff? That's me too. I'm going to help you with that. Okay, this morning you are going to get that kind of deal. Okay. I know it's exciting. Who knows what July 17th, 1969 was? July 17th.
Moon landing.
Moon landing, the first walk on the moon by Neil Armstrong, right? Listen, the 50th anniversary of that is next year. They haven't started talking a lot about it, but when they do, you're going to be ahead of the curve. you guys are going to lay it on them. You know, there's a lot of people in this room that weren't born in 1969. Now that kind of hurt my feelings, you know what I mean? I remember watching it on TV, that little round one, the black and white. Look, there he is. He's a little guy with an ant. I seen it. I watched it. You know, it's 1969. I wanted you to know this. So I'm thinking about that. I think about some strange things, just so you know. God does it, I think. But listen, that comes to my mind. And you know what I wrote? I put in my computer. You can do this too. Listen to this. So I put in my computer. You can all do this. This is technology. This is 2018. You can do this. How do you get to the moon? Put that in there. Well, I found out that MIT Technical School wrote the whole program. They wrote this whole program on how to get to the moon. I'm interested now. And you know what else they did? They put it like on one sheet so I could understand it. Yeah, that's smart. When somebody can make something really difficult where I can understand it, that is a smart person. No, really. So they put this in here, okay? And here's what they said. This is a MIT School of Engineering. They said this. Plotting the path from a launch pad on Earth to a landing site on the moon and back again was impossible in the 1960s. Because of what they knew at the time. These are not easy calculations. After all, the moon and the Earth are two moving objects, right? Okay, come on. I'm not lying. I mean, it's here. It's written down, MIT. And they're moving, and they're going quickly. But they said this. But also, they are this. Listen, they are also very predictable. Okay? They're very predictable. They do the same. God set it up that way. Listen, isn't that good? These are not... Listen, I repair stuff, and unpredictable is the worst. No, really. But predictable you can get. Okay? And there aren't many twists. There's no turns along the way. If you have the right trajectory, it's smooth, okay? You can make it. Smooth sailing for some parts. Right trajectory requires a lot of small adjustments. Did you know that? I found this out. They were off course going to the moon over 50% of the time. Did you hear? They could have missed the moon.
That'd be embarrassing.
Now, wait a minute. I don't know if you get it or not, but that is a big thing. Yep. I mean, there it is. I see it. How are you going to miss it, you know? It's 220,000 miles from Earth, but they could have missed the moon. That's pretty amazing. Don't you think? They could have missed the moon. And look at this. He says this. I mean, they could have went into a crater. They could have skipped off it. They could have missed returning back to the Earth. There's a whole lot of... Those guys' lives were in the hands of... technology and people. Imagine the trust level. Anyway, it's critical that the pilots are able to know three things about their spacecraft with great precision. Three things that all of us... Now look, this is us. We're our fellow travelers. There's three things that we need to know. MIT puts them down, but we got a lot better things to put with it. But MIT puts them down. You know the very first thing that we need to know, all of us as travelers... is navigation. Navigation. I could write it all down, but I'm not going to spell it right, so I'm only going to put nav. You guys can fill in the blanks. Navigation. You know what's so important about navigation? Look what this is MIT. Navigation is this. It tells us where we are and where we're going. How important is navigation? Does anybody in here use GPS? Oh, yeah, now. Used to, it had to be go down and turn at the big rock. You know, past the person who's got the boat sitting out in their yard with no trailer. And turn, or most people would say, turn at the bar, right? How many times has somebody told you to turn at a bar to their house? Lots, right? But we don't do that anymore. We got navigation. Navigation is so important. When someone calls your home and they say, hey, I want to come to your house, Bert. I want to come to your house. How do I get there? What's your question to them?
Where are you coming from?
Right. I don't know. How's that going to help you?
Turn left.
Yeah, there you go. Right? Hey. So how important is it to know where you are? Huh? Important? Who says important? Who says it's important if you're going somewhere to know where you're at? Right. What is the very... Listen to this now. I hope this is gripping for you, because it is for me. What is the very first question ever recorded in the Bible that God asked man?
Adam, where are you?
Where are you?
He didn't say his name, but he said, where are you? Was that for God? God said, where are you, because he didn't know?
No.
Why did God ask that question then?
He wanted Adam
to know where he was. God knew where he was. He wanted him to know. The question for us today is this. Where are you? What a great question. Without this question, you can't start. You can't start. You can't be on your way. You hear me? You can't be on your way without knowing this. Where are you? Yes.
I was going to say, that question, where are you, when we're engaged sharing the gospel with people, that's one of the first things I try to find out.
Perfect.
Where are they? And I don't care if they're in church, I don't care if they call themselves Christians, whatever. It's like, try to find out where they're at.
That's good. Listen for a second. Where are you? What a great question. And let me tell you this. Do you know there's only... three places you can be. Only three places you can be. When we sing Amazing Grace, the very first line there says two of the places. Where's that?
Lost and found.
Yeah, that's right. So the Bible describes two groups of people, those who are lost, right? And those who are found. So all of us today as travelers fit in here somewhere. Are you a traveler? We're all going to spin around the world, right? There's lost people and there's found people. And guess what else there is? There's people that are hiding. There's people that are hiding. They're coming, they're mixing in with the group. Right? And they think, and this hiding is, they're not hiding from God, right? It's themselves. Nobody sees me. My life and the things I'm doing don't matter. Like Adam, right? And Eve. It doesn't matter that what I've done and eaten off the tree. Hiding. We can be three places. Look at this next one. Now, really, a lot of this should flood into you, okay? Well, with navigation, we know where we are, we know where we're going, right? As Christians, we know that. The next thing that should happen is this. The second part of navigation is guidance. Which way we need to go to stay on or return to our planned path. This is the written out plan. This is the written out path. You know, I so appreciate Psalm 119. We've been hearing about that. But Psalm 119 talks about this word and how great it is. And this is the path. This is how we get there. Isn't it great? It's been written down, every word. If we follow this, we're going to get to where we need to go. This is your map. This is your GPS, your global positioning system, right, or whatever it's called. This is your guidance right here, and it's written down. Isn't that great? Do you know that all these earlier Christians didn't have this, but we got it? Isn't that good? You should probably think about that when you have your GPS and you're going into places you've never been. We got that, and people didn't have that before, right? What a great advancement. What a great advancement. Okay, so that's guidance. We need guidance. Where else do we get guidance from? Go ahead, you can talk. Where else do we get guidance from?
Holy Spirit.
That's right, man. We're in touch with Houston. Mm-hmm. Houston, this is the Apollo 11. We're now rounding the earth, and we're, right? And it's, listen, it's like this. It's that communication, right? Don't we get it? We get it from God. We can talk to God. We're talking to control. Right? Yeah, Houston, here we are, and now there's communication. Do you know what else was kind of weird? I was reading on this, and you know what else was something funny? And see if you guys get this one. When they would go behind the moon, like a 55-minute stretch, no communication. Isn't that a scary time? Isn't it scary for you or me when we're talking? We're calling out, hey, God, it's me, Steve. It's dark. I think I'm behind the moon. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Well, he can, but it's silent sometimes, right? Listen to this. Do you know when the Apollo, they had all those people in Houston, they had a computer in front of them and they had those stacks of paper. I mean, if you looked at every one of them, they had these giant stacks. That was the ones that were all connected. Remember they were all connected so you could do that. When that thing came back to Earth, did you see the celebration those guys had in there? That they had brought these guys back? I mean, these guys made it out of space, landed in the ocean. There was like it was triumphant. It was a cheering like you could never hear, right? Control, talk them in. They made it. They had guidance, and the guidance worked. All of us, how great it is that, you know, the Bible talks about when people go to heaven, when they die and go to heaven, what happens? Yeah, there's a big party. It probably looks just like Houston. Well, probably a lot better, but still. Listen, while I'm doing this, I want you to know this. God's word is able to speak way more than me. Your mind can be going through a lot of these things. The last one. They only had three things. I thought it was so great. The third thing you need is control. 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 Control is what fires your thrusters. Fires your thrusters which way you're going to go. Remember, I told you they were off by 50% of the time. It's right there. Oh, anyway. Off by 50% of the time, they were going back and forth and adjusting with these thrusters. And you also speed up and slow down with it. Control is also where it works out to be, where it works out to be the responsibility part that we have. You and I are responsible for learning control, for using the guidance system to get control, to know where we're at. Isn't it a, listen, when they saw the module land in the ocean and the celebration they had, isn't it great for us when God stamps us, when God says, I don't know about you, but for me, I'm going to tell you this, it is so great to get a stamp from God. You are on, you're going the right way, Steve. You know? You're on the right track. Does anybody like that when I'm the only one in... Are you guys like... Listen, I like that. You know, Now, Eric's here with me this morning, so I can just do this little quick thing for us. Eric invited me to go hunting. I'd never been deer hunting before. I'd done small game. I knew how to shoot. So I go deer hunting with him, and I take like a pea gun, you know, like a pea shooter, and he says, no. Gives me a bigger gun. I wasn't dressed warm enough. He gives me stuff to dress warmer. That's nice. He goes out and he shows me my tree stand that's 25 feet up. And I said, no. I sat on the ground. He goes, well, you probably won't get a deer. And I said, I don't care. I'm going to be able to walk. So that's what, and listen, and now you need to really think about this. Tons of people have gone years and years, their whole life, never saw a deer, never shot a deer, right? I go out there, so this is where God gets a whole lot of credit. And I sit out there the first morning, cold. Why do people like hunting? and I'm cold, and I'm going, And then he comes, gets me, we go get this deli lunch. It was great. I mean, really good. I'm going, oh, now I know. The soup and the sandwich. And then he said, and then like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he goes, time to go back. My heart sunk. I was like, yeah, okay. You know, time to go back out there. Okay. I didn't see a squirrel or a leaf, you know, but anyway, I go back. It's going to be 4:30. And I said, God, I haven't seen nothing. He knows this already. I said, God, if you can get any glory out of this, would you let me see a deer or shoot a deer? Right? I'm completing that sentence in your mind because you don't talk out loud. You don't want to scare deer. No, I'm not kidding you. Come on, that's a smart honey. So as soon as I said that, this doe comes running down the hill. And now I act shocked. I'm shocked. God knew. And it comes into this field, and I'm going, I got to make a good shot. How many times have you heard these guys? I shot off his leg, and it kept running away. I'm like, no, not me. God, please. I can't. That can't be my story. Please don't let that be my story. So I aimed, and I shot. And I'm like, and she ran. And she did a circle and she fell down and I went, yeah. I'm like jumping up. That's me in the woods. You guys didn't see it. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, oh, a mighty hunter. Oh, you know. Now listen, don't go tell anybody else this. So, woo, a mighty hunter. And so, and then I sit back down on my little stool that I wasn't going to get any deer on. I sit back down on this little stool. I'm like, oh, God, thanks. Thanks, God. You know, you answered my prayer. And then I've got the gun. I look down, and right where the doe was, is a buck. A big one. Big, right, Eric?
Big.
Big. And I said, a buck. A buck. I got him. God, I got to make a good shot. And he comes around, and he gets in the same way as the doe went. Let me say this. Never chase women. Anyway, goes around. Hey, there's an important lesson here. That's right. So he comes around in the same place, like right where she went. I can't believe it. And I aim and I shot. He jumped. And he ran only for a little short piece, and then he did this. He stuck his head up, and he started walking like he was the king of the forest, man. Just started walking. Head straight up, man, with that beautiful rack. And I said, well, I missed him, right? It can happen, even to me. No. Especially to me. It can happen. Well, the deer went down, and he turned into the woods. And the next thing you know, he went, crash. He went down, and I got him. Now, that's really not comparable to the moon module landing in the ocean, but for me, let me tell you what that was for me, okay? For me, that was a stamp from God. I didn't bring those deer, you know what I mean? I didn't make them come there, but for me, it was a stamp from God. Whoop, Steve? You're where I want you to be. You're doing what I want. You're on path. You're on the right trajectory right now in your life. Listen, that is great. Do you know how many times I feel like I'm off course? Do you know how many times? You ever have somebody, you ever do something dumb and somebody tell you it was dumb and then you really feel off course? Right? I don't like being off course. That's why I'm going to be like Paul, and I hope you are too. I'm going to press. I'm going to press toward the mark. There's people in the Bible. We only got a couple minutes, right? I want to talk. Let's talk about a few people that got to the mark, okay? Can anybody think about anyone in the Bible that saw Jesus, that it changed their life? Name some people.
Paul.
Huh? Paul, yo, he saw a great light, right? For only for a second, then he was blind. But who else? He saw a great light, he changed his life. Who else? Who else in the Bible? There's more people.
Stephen.
Stephen, well, he saw right at the end, it didn't really change his life. Who saw that changed their life? Who saw Jesus and it changed their life?
The thief on the cross.
The thief on the cross. That was a quick one. I'm talking about something where we can see a definitely absolute change, where they change course.
Zacchaeus.
Huh? Zacchaeus. Oh, that's a good one. How did he see Jesus? He had to do what? Climb a tree. He had to get a clear. That was great. I didn't even think about. That was a clear view. Think about Mark chapter 5. Remember the guy who was running around the tombs? What was he doing? Wah! Breaking chains. Woo, my strong. What happened to him? What does the Bible say when? What does the Bible say after he?
He was in his right mind.
Yeah, changed, right? That was a big change. And then Jesus said, "You can't go with me. Go back home and show your family what a great change." Whoa, that's something. Anybody else?
Lazarus.
Oh yeah, he saw after he got the bag taken off his head, right? The other people that might have. What about the prodigal son? Remember, he came to himself. What about Isaiah? Remember Isaiah, when he saw God, what did he say? What was his answer? He had a three-word answer. Huh? No, no. He had a three-word answer when he saw who he, when he saw himself.
Woe to me.
Didn't he say, here I am? Here am I? He had to have somebody to go. Who said that? Here am I? Who said it?
Samuel
said, "Here am I." When he got called, when I know he said, "Woe is me." Okay, I should have wrote that down. Hey, but listen, it's going to come down to the point where you know where you're at. When you hear God's voice, you're going to know where you're at. I hope all of us hear God's voice playing, and we know where we're at, because then we can go where we need to go. I hope now that you're ahead of the curve on the moon landing, that you guys will be able to celebrate with other people what a remarkable thing that was. And when somebody says July 17th, 1969, you'll know what that means. And hopefully will help us to know, if you feel off course, that's the way Paul felt. If you feel off course, over 50% of the time, they were off course going to the moon. Let's pray. Dear God, we come before you, and God, as we do, we know, God, that you are in control. God, we know that you are our guidance. We know that you're our navigation. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. God, thank you for fellow travelers. God, would you help us to follow you and follow your path? God, help everyone in this room to use the thrusters to get back on. In Jesus' name, amen.